We're continuing our class on dating, so we should try to be long-sighted. People think right away they want to go out, and then they go out with the first person that's offered. Very often people get very spiritual, like the odds of this shit happening are... I could tell you all kinds of stories. Give me just a second. Where people were sure there were 1,500 signs that they should go out with this girl. Wasn't it? Don't go looking for signs. You know, you gotta practically check it out. And you have to be long-sighted. Meaning, no one guarantees you how fast you'll find your wife. I remember I once said to a friend of mine, I'm going to wait till Bein HaZmanim to start going out. This way I'll start going out in the beginning of Bein HaZmanim. Hopefully by the end of Bein HaZmanim I'll find my wife and I won't waste too much Torah time. And he laughed at me. And a year and a half later when I was still dating and hadn't found my wife, I realized why he laughed at me. Meaning at first thought, I was very naive. I thought it could go quickly. It could, but it didn't. You never know how long it'll take you to find your wife, and that's a reason why, that's reason number one why it pays to do research and find out about the person who you're being set up with, because if you date too many girls, you end up getting burnt, you end up getting jaded, and you end up not being so excited. You show up to dates, and it's like, hi, yeah, my name is, you go through the whole routine, you already told so many people the same things. I grew up here, and I do that, and this is what I believe in. And the first two dates are pretty dull. Even if you're an exciting person, it's hard to be excited, because this is the 15th, 30th, 500th, whatever time you're telling over the same story. So there's a reason, number one, why it's recommended to check out the girl is so that you don't waste your time. It's better if you can rule out which girls are not for you by phone, then if you actually go out, it saves you energy, it saves you emotional energy, it keeps you vibrant, you don't get worn down. This is especially true for girls, but it's also true for boys. So reason number one why it makes sense to check it out is because you can save time and energy, I could tell you I was able to rule out 3 out of 4 girls I was set up with. I still dated over 50 girls, but that means I ruled out over 150 girls. There were 150 girls that people offered me that did not make sense once I made 2 or 3 phone calls. And last class we discussed how you run that phone call when you try to check out a girl. You're welcome to visit last class if you weren't here. It's online. There's a better reason, though, why you should check out the girl before you go out with her. This reason is good enough in its own merits, but there's an even better reason. People can be good intentioned, people can mean well, and that doesn't mean that what they're doing is good. People can set you up with a girl, and they have the best intentions, but do they really know her background? When I set you guys up, if I ever have the merit to do so, which is not as often as I'd like, I tell the girl, I know him 1 year, 2 years. I don't know if he spent time in prison for a murder. I don't know. I don't know. Factually, do I know your history? I don't know. And you know what? A guy was dating a neighbor of mine, and I said to him the same thing. I said, you know, I know this girl all of 4 years. We're her neighbor for 4 years. But it could be that 5 years ago, her father was in prison for, you know, attacking his neighbor with an axe. I don't know. I know that as far as I know them, for 4 years, they're fine, wonderful people. But you have a responsibility to do more research and find out what the truth is. 4 years is not a lifetime. You want to know. So you'll ask me, does a person have the capacity to do tshuva? And I'll say, yes, no problem. You could do tshuva. But you should be the gauge of whether the person really... now, worked out their issues. You want to know. You want to know. And there are extreme stories. We had a student who was set up with a girl that everyone in her family had children with birth defects. Every one of her siblings had children who were deaf. So you could say, I don't mind, and that's your prerogative, but you want to know it. And do you want to know it after you've dated the girl 5 or 10 times, or do you want to know in advance and decide? We had, she was not. We had, I could tell you stories the whole night of guys and girls who were set up with people where there was information that was very relevant for them to know. And the Shadchan didn't tell them. In certain instances, the Shadchan truthfully didn't know. And in other instances, the Shadchan did know and decided not to tell them. We had a guy who dated a girl, and only after they had dated, I don't know how many times, he discovered that she was previously married and had children. He would have wanted to know that before he started a relationship with her, and the Shadchan thought better not to tell him. So, what?
You continue?
This story happened more than once. Most of the instances he did not continue. In one of the instances he married her. But this story happened more than once, saying it happened to our students numerous times that Shadchanim withheld information. And I say withheld because it was pretty obvious that they knew the information. So this leads us to point number 2 and point number 3, and that is you cannot trust any Shadchan. Even though I sometimes act as a Shadchan, I always say, jokingly, I say, you can't trust any Shadchan except for me. And you can't trust me on that, so don't trust me either. Okay, you don't know. There are too many stories where Shadchanim will say with good intentions, even though I'm not always sure that's true, but they omit information, and so you can't trust the Shadchan. You have to do your own homework, the way we discussed last class. And the second story, which again happened to more than one student here, I'll tell you one story, but similar stories have happened to numerous students. A student develops a relationship online over one of the internet dating sites, and it's going really well. And it's going so well that she's on another, well, I don't know if it's another continent. She was in Europe. Okay, I guess that's another continent. Things are going so well, they agree that he's going to fly out to her country, and they're going to continue dating there because he's sure that this is it. And they make up the flight and the time and the place, and he lands, and she's not there. And he waits a half hour. He calls her cell phone. No answer. He emails her. He sends her messages through the dating site. And the poor guy took his life savings. He literally had to spend his savings to fly out there and spent the week there chasing her with all kinds of excuses until he understood that she's married. And she never told him. She never had the courage to tell him. She was improper being online. She thought maybe whatever she was going to do. But bottom line, the guy had lost all his savings and had nothing to show for it. And if the story had only happened once, so you'd say it's a fluke. But when it happened more than once here in the Machon, so you start realizing that internet dating is a dangerous thing, which we will discuss in a minute. We'll just take a few questions and then we'll move on to internet dating. I just want to summarize the first point we discussed tonight, and that is the importance of checking out the girl you're being set up with. A, you can rule out certain girls, even if you have the information when you talk to friends. Sometimes that information will help you rule out certain girls, and that's a wonderful thing. It'll save both of you time. B, sometimes there's information that's not being given over, either on purpose or by mistake. And you have to take care of yourself. And from that, we went into internet dating, which we'll continue in a minute. Okay, Daniel, yeah. No, the other Daniel. Yeah, but Daniel was first.
How is it as it's a good cedar for women that got divorced and have one child? They are willing to marry somebody much older because it's much more difficult for them to get married. How is that a proper cedar? Because normally people in Israel, they don't date with a big age difference like outside Israel. They normally keep 1 or 2 years. If it's 5 years, it's like a really big age difference.
Maybe in the end, that's it. I get it.
And if somebody is dating somebody in Denmark or somewhere else that's 30 years older, you will call them an old thing. How is that a real cedar for divorced women? Because it doesn't sound like they're marrying for the right reason. It sounds like they're marrying because they're desperate and I cannot say something else there.
But I don't think that's the topic of our class. So we can wait at the end. If we have time, we can get back to it. It's not what a divorced woman will do and who she'll date. That's not relevant to us right now.
No. It's like if you want somebody much younger.
But Daniel, let's not take the time for it. We're short. Yeah.
Just do that.
I wanted to ask Nina.
I meant Yaakov, but okay. Yeah.
I'll go quickly. You mentioned the criminal potential background, and I'm wondering to myself how often is it the case that people say, provide me a police certificate of no past criminal record. And question two is, part two of the question is, similarly, someone mentioned once that they had to do a genetic test, a DNA test of sort, from an Ashkenazi background. And I wonder how normal is it that you have to do that, and really, can you also just request it? And how often is it also the case that the guy requests it, not just the shuttling or whatever?
Okay. So, in terms of background checks, that depends a little bit. If you have someone that grew up in the same community, and you can call up that community and find out who the person is, and you know the information you need to know. So I still recommend you do some kind of background check. But if you're dating an 18-year-old girl or a 20-year-old girl and they have a pretty limited history, and you can know that history by just talking to her friends and her teachers. So usually a basic, you do a Facebook search, you talk to her friends, I think that's enough. But if a person's going to date a girl who's 25, 28, 32, and this girl has lived in France and Belgium and Germany and the United States and Israel,
right,
you don't really know where she's coming from and what's going on. I'm not sure a background check will be enough.
Right.
You can try. I think in our day and age, and being that a person who's chozer b'tshuvah and is sometimes later on in life and he's marrying someone who's later on in life, you can sometimes benefit a lot, and it's at least when it's getting serious, I think it's a worthwhile investment. Again, sometimes you're dating a girl and it's very obvious, you know, she grew up in this town, went to this elementary school, this high school. You know, I did my wife, she was 19. We went to the same elementary school. I knew her teachers, I knew her neighbors. I didn't know her, but I'm saying I knew enough about her. I knew people who davened in the same shul as her parents, so I didn't need to do a police check. You know, it's not nogea. But then I dated girls who I definitely did need. You know, I couldn't know anything about them. There was a very broad background there. So I think that's something which you have to decide as you go along. It depends a lot on the scenario, on how much you feel you have an overall picture. Sometimes people like to skip many years of their life. Meaning as though life began 3 years ago when I entered Machon Meir. I understand a person does tshuva, but I also understand that, for example, I demand of students here and the girl they date, if I'm in the picture, I will demand blood tests, tests for STDs. It's better if it comes from me, so that way I'm the bad guy. But if you're dating someone and you have no idea, you know, a person's chozer b'tshuva, that's wonderful, but do you know if the person has AIDS, for example? We've had situations where people dated people and only later on found out they're HIV positive. But I can tell you that if I'm in the picture, then I demand both ways. I demand that both sides do blood tests and get tested for STDs and whatever else is relevant. And the information has to be made available in an honest way. That's depending on the scenario. Very often it will be very hurtful if it comes from the guy or the girl. I mean, you're developing a relationship, you're about to get engaged, and they say, I just wanted to. It's not going to be nice. So usually we do it more gently. Usually it goes through me, and I'll tell the guy, look, you know, this is the way we do it here, please. Make sure we get this paperwork done. And with the girl, usually I'll contact their teachers or whatever. We'll see, or the shadchan, and we'll find a way to do it. It's usually not nice if the guy demands it.
It's quite common with the DNA test that they do.
That's another question.
Yeah.
We'll get there. So that's because this is a more personal and can be a more hurtful question. So it's better if someone who's close to the guy presents him and someone who's closer to the girl presents it to her. So that's number one. The assumption is that if you're dating a girl who's a chozeret b'tshuva, she's not a virgin. The assumption is that if she's dating a guy who's a chozeret b'tshuva, he is not a virgin. That being the case, there's room for thought about getting these blood tests, etc. done. Now, with regards to genetic testing, so it's been discovered that there are certain genetic issues, we'll call them that, that are more prevalent among certain communities. So a doctor once said that the average person has 5 genetic, what are they called? Mutations. The only thing is that the odds of yours and theirs being the same and there being a problem are so far-fetched that we don't even do it. And if you wanted to really get genetically tested, it would take you about a half a year. It's very, very complicated to get a complete genetic test. LMI, they'll give you a test which will cover a certain number of common genetic issues. So if people could just put their cell phones on silent, please, you could turn them off, but at least they should be on silent. There's an organization, what's it called? Dor Yesharim, which will test you for free. Not for free, I'm sorry. Certain Kupot Cholim, they have a deal with them. Otherwise, it costs a certain amount of money. You get a number, and the idea behind their system is that you get a number, the girl gets a number, and before you go out, you just submit the numbers, and they give you back an answer if they recommend going out or not. They don't say who has which issue, and this way you don't ruin anyone's reputation. Okay, some people believe in it, some people don't. It's really relevant for Ashkenazim. Those who are Sephardim, I don't know if it's such a problem. Okay, there are girls who won't get engaged until you get tested. Our families that say, we want to know. We want you to do a test. Fine, so you do the test. Many students here reached engagement, and the girl's parents said, nope, you're not getting engaged until you both do that test. So they did the test. Okay, whether you want to spend the hundreds of shekels it costs in advance to have that number, each person could ask the local Orthodox rabbi if that's a good idea. Okay, we'll take questions, but only if they're real short, because we're running out of time. Yes?
So I've got this question about the validity of making this background check, because there is always the problem that someone is young and they grown up in a community with support from family and friends and everybody, and they were never exposed to the big world, and they have perfect background check. They never did anything stupid, then it doesn't really mean that they are themselves yashavim, and that they are strong. But sometimes it also means that they had a little support. And the fact that they were never changing the background and kind of validating that they are still mentioned, they are still people in different backgrounds, means that it's very dangerous to assume that just because the background is very good, it will be good later on. I've seen that in my own eyes in the Toronto community when someone left the house and disconnected from to some extent because they started a new house and became very different. So sometimes it's actually a positive thing to have more varied experience.
Okay.
Different places.
Yeah.
Two questions, if it's long enough. First question is, what if I don't want to know anything about the past? Or I say, I want her to tell me for my own free will, not that someone checks for me and tells me. And if she doesn't tell me, I don't care. Because I think she made tshuva or whatever, so I don't want to know about the past. There are different levels, you know, if someone has a disease, illness or something, of course that's different. But you can check only diseases. But if someone was in prison or whatever, then in crimes, and I say I don't want to know about it. So what would you recommend? Would you still, you as a shacham, would you still do a background check?
So I don't know if I would do a background check before I date the girl.
Sorry?
I mean, I wouldn't invest this much research in a girl before you date her. When I answered about a background check, I meant after you've dated 10 times, 15 times, you think it's getting serious, then I think it pays to invest in a background check. Before you date the girl, I would just check references.
Okay.
The story makes sense, fine. After you've dated her 10 or 15 times, it looks like it's getting serious. I think you should do more research. I was invited to an engagement party, and the guy tells me the engagement party is Matzei Shabbos. So I said, well, it's a little short notice. He comes to me on Shabbos. He says, it's important to me that you come. The engagement party is Matzei Shabbos. I said, I'll try, but you know, I didn't plan this in advance. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make it. So he says to me, it's short notice for me too. The couple, he was one of the parents one of the kids. He says to me, the couple popped it on me. I said, okay. He says, as a matter of fact, I only knew they were dating about 4 days. I said, really? So who checked out the other side? So he said, I don't know. We're going to have to start. Then he asked me, am I supposed to do that now? Isn't it too late? They got engaged. So I said, yeah, you're supposed to do that now. So he said, but they're engaged. And I said, and if no one checked out the background, then you better make sure everything's okay. And this is the story I told you guys earlier this year, that the person that their child was engaged to was on the top 10 most wanted list in the United States. And they did not tell them that. Okay? True story. I'm not saying. And different times I tell the story, I make it the guy or the girl. I keep changing some facts.
Would you take for yourself, or would you take to tell them in the end?
Well, I think that when things get serious, then the correct thing is to do a little bit of homework. If you see it's getting serious, do your homework. Make sure you know what you need to know. I was dating a girl, and the girl asked me, you're not going to trust me if I'm going to be your wife? I said, if you're going to be my wife, I'm going to trust you with everything. And that's why before I make that decision, I better make sure I could. Because after I make that decision, then all the bank accounts, everything, my email, everything, I trust you with everything. I don't. There's nothing I don't trust you with. But before I give my whole life, the trust of my whole life into someone else, I better know it makes sense. That's why it makes sense to do the research beforehand. Now again, before you date a girl, you make a few phone calls, you talk to the friends. After you see it's getting serious, then you do a little bit more research. How much more research? Well, that depends on your life philosophy, and that depends on your on the background and where the girl's coming from. Can a person say, I don't care, I trust her, whatever will be? You could. I can tell you quite a few horror stories that happen with that approach, so I'm not sure what the idea in that would be. I definitely agree that sometimes there are components of a person's past that we don't want to know. Just like we'll discuss later on, when a person did tshuva, he shouldn't discuss with the girl how many other girls he was with and how intimate he was with them and how long he was with them. There are parts of one's past that are not relevant. You know the person did tshuva. You know, in general, they have a certain past. Come on, no. You know, we had one of the students asked if I thought there were halachic issues. He wanted to take his wife to his parents' house, and his parents were missionaries. And I said, I think it's a very, very bad idea. And he said, what's wrong? I said, okay, I'll ask you one question. The room you'll sleep in, is there a figure of someone on a stick above the bed? So he didn't know what to say. He said, yeah. I said, well, let me tell you. Your wife grew up in an Orthodox home, and when she married you and she knew you were Chozel B'Tshuvan, that you came from such a home, she never imagined that she'll lie in a bed and look up at a man on a stick. That was not, you know, it didn't cross her mind. So you're going to take her and bring her to that scenario. You're giving her a certain culture shock. Why would you do that? She's happy and she accepted you and she said, fine, you did tshuva. I'm not interested in the details of where you came from, and that's fine. So I agree with the approach you're saying, that sometimes there are details of the past that we don't have to go into. And we don't have to go into, and we don't have to bring them up. We've built a new life. That's true. And there are details of her past that shouldn't interest us. You shouldn't sit there and talk to her about her old boyfriends, etc. Right? I agree with you that there are parts of the past that are not important. But that doesn't mean that I don't have to do a certain amount of homework and make sure that I'm not doing something stupid. like the guy who married a girl who couldn't stay away from alcohol. Now go have kids with the woman who can't stop drinking. I'm not talking about all the other problems in life that led to. Okay, I'm just saying, you want horror stories? I could tell you true stories, unfortunate stories. I don't see the logic in burying our heads in the sand. I can understand that I don't need to know everything. I agree that I don't need to know everything. But I don't agree that I should put my trust in someone when I haven't made sure that I should put my trust in.
What is thinking, can you complete the voice?
He was waiting, I'm sorry.
What is a cultural weakness who can ask for about a background of a person? Who can we ask for background? Because if we ask their friends, then maybe they won't tell us the truth.
So it depends on the community. What I've found is that even if you speak to people who are not Jewish, and even if you speak to people who are not observant, you do end up hearing a lot of information. You'd be surprised. You tell them, can you describe to me the major events in her life? Can you describe to me what happened? Even this person who tried to cover up their past, which was very relevant because there were warrants out for the person's arrest. You want to know if you're marrying someone that has a warrant out for their arrest. You want to know if the person might spend 20 years of married life in prison. I mean, you're entitled to know that. You don't think so? I mean, but when we spoke, as much as people tried to cover it up, each person assumed we knew something. So every person we spoke to gave us another piece of the puzzle. I'm saying when you speak to people, people think like everyone knows sat in prison for 2 years. So one person says, when this person was in prison, they were so careful to eat matzah on Pesach. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Fine. You know, that's a wonderful thing that they were careful to eat matzah on Pesach. But it's a little sad that no one bothered telling me the person sat in prison for 2 years. I want to know. Next you hear, when the person did drugs, he always made a bracha beforehand. So I say, okay, if I know the person has history that they did drugs, I sort of have to make sure the person's no longer doing drugs. Like I said, I could tell you horror stories the whole night. That's not our point. Our point is you want to be responsible and make sure that you've done due diligence. Gentlemen, we're not moving forward. I don't know why this point. Let's move on. And if you have questions on these details, you'll call and ask, okay? Can we move on? No. Okay.
So what about if you're like an Esau type and Dina is the one that makes you do tshuva?
It's a good question for Thursday night. Let's move on.
No, but it's relevant for Dina.
I agree it's relevant. I didn't say it's not relevant. It's relevant. Okay.
There's such thing as outdated questions, right?
Very good. We discussed last week how to do research tonight, we discussed the importance. When it comes to internet dating, some people don't have a choice. Meaning sometimes a person lives in a place or in a circumstance where no one's setting them up, and so, okay, they don't have a choice. You have to realize that there are risks, there's limited information, and people are presenting a very one-sided, one-dimensional picture. People are multifaceted, multidimensional, and that's why I recommend, even if you're going to go that route, which is unfortunate, because it's much better if you don't have to go that route. Hopefully you'll get better, more accurate, more responsible offers. Okay, we're going to hold questions now. Next to 10 minutes, no questions. Let's move forward. If you're going to go that route, do homework. Get references and do homework. Save yourself the heartache of dating so many girls that are not relevant. I'm not saying it's a bad idea, even though I'm not a fan of internet dating, but sometimes people don't have a choice, and it's a blessing that they have that option. I would definitely leave it as a last option. I would definitely try to work first with other options. Talk to friends, talk to people who know you, try to get set up with people who can set you up well and who will have your interest at heart. Even people who have your interest at heart don't necessarily have all the information. Bear that in mind. When you're dating, date face-to-face. Don't start dating a girl that's on a different continent. I've yet to see that, you know. Out of all the stories I've seen, I can tell you that 99% of the time it does not end up well. I'm not saying that you shouldn't date a girl through the internet. If you do, then the dates, though, should be face-to-face. And I'll give you a small example. People make this mistake. They date over the phone, they date over the Skype, they date over the internet, they chat. That's not the way to date. You want to know the person, meet them, see their facial expressions. That's how you start understanding a person and building a connection. I've seen people who most of their dating was done on the phone, and I've seen catastrophic results where they got married and suddenly they were face to face. And they thought they knew one another because they date face to face once and then over the phone five times and then face to face once and then over the phone five times. It's not the same. You know, you call the girl and you ask her, how was your day? Let's just play out her side of the phone. She's doing her nails, she's chewing gum, and you're talking, and she's like, really? That's amazing. She yawns, she's typing away, she's chatting with three other friends. Ask yourself, when you talk to people, how much of the time are you doing other things? How many times do you talk on the phone and you're focused? You're talking to the person. I challenge you, did it happen in the last week or month of your life? That you spoke to someone and you did nothing else but talk to them? It's saying most of the time you're either walking, you're riding a bike, you're doing other things, you're not with the person.
Just kind of manners,
though. You want to know the person? Sit down and talk to the person. See their facial expressions. Yeah. So someone asked me, I'm supposed to drive all the way or take a bus all the way to Hulon. You want to date the girl? Go to Hulon. You don't want to date the girl? Don't go to Hulon. But don't hurt yourself and her by developing this fake relationship over the phone or over the internet. It doesn't work. You want to know the person? You got to meet them. And in the beginning, you should be a gentleman, and you go out to her after two or three dates. If she hasn't offered to meet you halfway or come to you, she's told you something about her midot, about what type of person she is. You're going to be the gentleman and offer to go out there. But if she is the gentle woman who wants you to come up to her and never offers to come and meet you halfway, well, you realize what you're getting yourself into. That doesn't mean you shouldn't marry her. Maybe you want a girl like that. That's what they call in English high maintenance. Your call. I'm not saying, you know, in Hebrew they have a saying, every pot has its cover. Some guys want to be married to a woman where they're going to spend their whole life serving her. But proper midot is that she should at least offer to come meet you halfway, or come and part of the date should be down here. It's your call. There are no rules in life, but in general, you have to wonder why she doesn't, if she doesn't. Okay, so what we've covered so far is trying to get people to set you up. If you have to, you work through the internet. It is not modest to go over to a girl and give her a pickup line, give her your card, ask her for her number. That's not the way to work. You should work through a third party. Speak to someone who can set you up. You're at a friend's event, so ask a mutual acquaintance if they could tell you about the girl and if they could set you up. Usually when you're at a party or something and you see a girl, all you're attracted to are her looks. You don't know anything else about her. Let's be real. Looks are important, but you shouldn't choose your wife based on that. Just because she looks good, so that's why you're going to date her. That's not a reason to date a girl. You know, that's only one factor. And we discussed last week, it's recommended that you set up for yourself. What are you looking for? What's important for you? And we will discuss that at greater length probably next class as we start discussing the dating process itself. But after you've asked people and hopefully you've gotten set up with a girl, don't assume it's a good idea. Check out the girl. Do your homework the way we discussed last week and this week. And then if everything makes sense, you call back the Shadchan and you say, I'd like to date this girl. Then the girl will do the same to you. She will either do homework or she won't do homework. Many girls today do not do homework. They get set up with a guy. They say, sounds good, great, I trust you, I'll go out with the guy. Bad mistake. I strongly recommend, just like I tell you guys, to check out the girl. They're even at a greater risk. They should certainly check out the guy. I personally, when I set up a guy and a girl, I ask questions such as, are you Shomer Negiah? I don't think it's right if he's not Shomer Negiah or she's not and he is. They got a match on that. In dating, it's not a class on how you should behave. If you ask me halacha, of course a person's not supposed to touch a girl till they're married. But that's not the question. The question is, who are you and who is she? Dating is not about theories as much as practically. Where are you holding in life? Which type of girl matches for you? I've set up people who don't keep Shabbos or Kashrut, but I set him up with a girl that's like him. Dating is about finding the match. The fact that in theory we should be this type of person or that type of person, that's good for every other class in the Mahon. When we speak about dating, we're talking about finding the person that matches to you. And there, so a person has to be realistic, and the Shadchan has to be realistic. I sometimes ask, do you intend to have a television at home? Do you know what type of community you'd want to live in? Do you know, would you want to go with a girl out to a movie? Not that I care. It's not a question of your religious level. It's a question of which girl will match for you. So I don't know how other shadchanim work, but I'm just saying, you guys say you should try to get the shadchan to understand who you are and where you're holding religiously, philosophically, what your values are. Let's move forward. You've agreed, she's agreed, first phone call. First phone call should last somewhere around 2 minutes or more. If the phone call flows, you guys can talk. What do you talk about? So you could talk about the person who set you up. It's a natural point of conversation. You could talk about your interests. It's recommended the first 2-3 dates not to talk politics. That shouldn't be the point of the conversation. And in the phone conversation also, try to stay away from controversial things. Let's try to get to know one another. You don't need a long conversation, the first conversation, but if it happens to go, then it should go. Fine. It's considered more polite and it's more nice if when you call the girl, you ask her if it's a convenient time. I usually would ask the shadchan, when I'd give him a positive answer, I would say, I'm interested in dating this girl. Can you please find out for me what times she'll be available? You don't want to waste your time trying her 15 times a day. It is not polite to SMS her and ask her to call you back. You should call her. And even if you didn't catch her the first 2 or 3 times, you'll catch her. Do not have the conversation in the middle of the lunchroom where you won't hear her clearly and everyone around you will hear you talking to her. Do not have a conversation in the room where all your roommates and your friends are listening into the conversation. Be with her. Go out to the park. Go somewhere private and have a respectful conversation with her where you could concentrate on what she's saying and you can have a conversation. You set up the place for the first date. I recommend you do not set up a place where there will be dogs. Girls do not like dogs, and that's one reason why Gan Sakher is not such a great place to go out on a date. I recommend you set up a place where in the winter you could go indoors if it starts raining and if it gets too cold, and a place where you have a restroom and you can get a drink. Yes, you should be the gentleman and buy her the drink, but don't make a fight out of it. She's one of these girls who says, no, I buy my own drink. Fine. That's not something worth fighting over. You go out, you make up a place. The dates should be during the daytime or early nighttime hours. Dates should not end at 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. You want a respectful girl, you be respectful to her. She shouldn't be roaming the streets at 10:30 at night, 11 o'clock at night. Most girls prefer setting up a place where you meet. American girls, European girls will sometimes want you to pick them up from the house so the parents will meet you. That's not classical. In the Dati Lumi world, it's more accepted that you choose a meeting place and that's where you meet. But again, I dated girls where the parents wanted to meet me first. Fine. What do you have to be scared of? Yeah. Some people in the United States, that's the norm. So fine. If that's what they want, I wouldn't fight such a thing. I have had girls where on the second date or the third date or the fourth date, the parents said, we want you to come pick her up from the house. We want to see who you are. Fine. What do you have to be scared of? What do you care? You go. Say that. They don't bite. And if they bite, you bite back. Okay?
How bad did they bite back?
At least as bad as they bit you. At least. That's the rule. For sure. Look, if people are going to be nasty, you don't have to take it sitting down. And you don't have to take it at all. I know a couple where now the parents said, we insist the date should be in the house. And they popped that onto them. So they weren't ready for that. The guy came to take out the girl, and her father said, why don't you guys sit down here? So he looked at her, and she looked at him. They were both surprised, and they sat down. And then the father sat down at the table with them. So they looked at one another, and this was a first date. They looked at one another, and they looked at her father, and they both weren't prepared for this. And they both looked at one another again, and they looked at the father again, and they said, it was very nice meeting you. They both got up and walked out. But they clicked right away. Back to the normal dating, okay? Normal dating. You choose a place where you're going to meet the girl. Usually the girl does not want to be seen around her apartment where everyone's going to see her, her neighbors are going to see her. Usually she wants somewhere that's a little bit further away. But at the end of the date, you should walk her back wherever she needs to go. I'm saying it could be you walk her back to her bus stop. I remember I was set up with a girl. This was, I don't remember, Bnei Brak, Tel Aviv, somewhere in that area. And on the phone, it was a bomb. She made fun of the shadchan. She made fun. She had a nasty thing to say about everyone. And I couldn't figure out how to get out of it. Once I agreed to a first date, I could tell by the first phone conversation this was going to be a disaster. So, okay, I schlepped out there to the location, and we were going to meet in front of, I think, Bar-Ilan University. And I'm standing there. I get off the bus. We make up a time. 10 minutes pass. She didn't show up. I call her up. What's doing? She says, I'm babysitting for my brother and sister, whatever, my brother-in-law. Nah, they're late. They're late coming back. I'm so sorry. I'll be there in 10 minutes. No problem. I didn't mind. I had my mishnayos with me. I'm learning. Half hour passes. She doesn't show up. I call her up. What's going on? She says, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm babysitting. They didn't show up yet. I'll be there. Another 10 minutes. Another half hour. I've waited over an hour in the sun waiting for, but I didn't mind because I had no interest in the date. I knew nothing was going to come of it. So I was thankful I could learn. I sat there learning. After, I don't know, at least an hour delay, at least. And guys, when you show up to date, show up on time. I once dated a very nice girl. Never took off, but really nice girl. She always showed up late to the dates. And it was winter. And after about 6 or 7 dates, she says to me, whenever I come, you're there. Do you come on time? I said, yeah. And she says, oh, well, don't you wonder why I don't? I said, well, yeah. So she said, I've been dating for a number of years now, and most guys don't come on time. And I got tired of standing in the cold, freezing as I wait for the date. And so I decided I can't come on time anymore. So I think that's a very sad thing to say about guys. But she didn't make it up. I'm telling you in every other way, she was a very nice girl. I think it's really not nice, you know. Be there early. So what? So you take a sefer. So you read something. Today we have MP3 players. You could listen to a shiur. There's what to do with life. But you show up a minute late, 2 minutes late, I understand. But there's no excuse for showing up later than that. Today you could check the bus schedules. Be there on time. It's the first sign of being a mensch. So coming back to this girl, we're walking on the date, and boy, did she give me over the head. At one point, she says to me, why am I on the sidewalk and you on the street? So I said, okay. She says, I tower over you without standing on the sidewalk. You make me feel like a giant when you're on the street. So, okay. You know, doozy after doozy. And the date ends, and we made up a time, and I said to her, look, my last bus back to Yerushalayim is, I don't remember which time, you know, by the time she showed up to the date, it was really late. So I said, "I this is my last bus to Yerushalayim. How are you getting back home from here?" She said, my mother's picking me up. I said, fine, but please tell her we have to end the date by this time because I 5-10 minutes later, I have my last bus. So what do you think happens? I'm standing there with her, and no one shows. And the 10 minutes pass, and I see the bus coming down. And I'm standing there thinking, I don't want to spend the night in Tel Aviv over her. I didn't want this date to begin with. But I said to myself, I can't do that. I'm going to leave a Bat Yisrael out here alone. I don't know when her parents are coming. It's their responsibility. It's their fault. But it's not right. So she says to me, board the bus. I said, no, it's late at night. I can't leave you here just alone. And the bus left. And the bus left. And I said, okay. She says, how are you getting home? I said, I don't know. She didn't offer me to come to her parents' house. I said, I don't know. I got friends in Tel Aviv. And I'm thinking to myself, I can't call them at this hour. But I really didn't know. And 2 minutes later, parents pull up down the road, and she leaves me going to them. And as she leaves me going to them, there's some drunk lying on the side, some homeless person, who got up and started attacking her. What? And attacked her. Attacked her, yeah. And she ran from him, and I ran after both of them, and she ran into her parents' car, and nothing happened to her. But I just thought to myself, look, I had thought to myself, this is a busy street. I could just board that bus. What's going to happen to her? It's her parents. They should be here any minute. And what would have happened had I boarded the bus? I don't know what would have happened, right? But when I saw that, I said to myself, okay, I did right. Baruch Hashem, I didn't know it, but there are shirut. There are these taxis that go like the bus, and one showed up 5-10 minutes later. I was standing there thinking I didn't know what I was going to do. I said, maybe I'll go lie down next to him, right? But I didn't know. Okay, stay there. You walk her back to a safe location. It could be her home. It could be her parents' home. It could be the bus stop. Wherever she's comfortable, but be a gentleman. And even if you know you're not going out with her again, she's a Bat Yisrael. you took a certain responsibility. You took her out. You bring her back to a normal location. First date, show up clean to a date. That means take a shower. It's the 9 days, so you'll ask your local Orthodox rabbi. If you shave, you should shave. You should wear decent clothing. You don't have to come dressed for Shabbos, but you should dress nicely. When I was in yeshiva, so we didn't have such easy access to an iron. We didn't have such a good iron when we had one. So we'd had this trick. We'd wear a sweater over the shirt, and then you couldn't know if it was ironed or wasn't. You just ironed. The problem was that sometimes you'd walk into a place that was really hot. Like in the winter, sometimes it was too cold outside, and the girl said, let's go in there. You go inside. It's really hot. So I remember I was once on a date, and I'm sweating bullets, and the girl goes, aren't you hot? And I know I couldn't take off the sweater, right? So no, I'm fine. She says, you sure look hot. She was right, but I hadn't ironed the shirt, so what was I going to do? Take off the sweater, right? So iron your shirts, come clean, come well-fed. You know, if you're hungry, it's hard to be calm and happy with a person. Come optimistic. Sometimes you've dated, hopefully it won't happen to you, but it happened to me. After you've dated a year or two, 30, 40 girls, you get a little tired. It's hard to get optimistic. So you take a nap beforehand, take a shower beforehand. I would sometimes walk to a date with a piece of chocolate in my mouth, just something to pick up my spirits. I'd walk in like a little happier. I wasn't so excited. It's hard to get excited so many times, right? You should approach dating as, on the one hand, I'm looking for the person I'm going to marry. So I'm not going to find a girlfriend. I'm looking for someone who I will marry. It might take a few months. It might take half a year till I decide if this is the right person, whatever, to each his own. But I'm dating for the sake of marriage. We will talk about how often you should date and the frequency of dating and how that should shift. But you also should have in the back of your mind, this is interesting. If I won't marry the person, at least it'll be interesting. I'll get to hear about someone else's life. I learned about the country by dating. I dated girls from all over, and every time I'd ask them, like, I never knew there was a place called Shadmot Mechola. Okay, I dated a girl from there. She told me about Shadmot Mechola. Now I know there's a place like that. My wife, when we first got married, said, it's funny, everywhere we go, you dated a girl from there. Right? But that's how I learned the country. You know, bottom line, you it's interesting. So even though you're going out to get married, but you should be calm. You're meeting another person. Where else in life do you get to interview someone, talk to them, hear about their lives? It's interesting. So if we approach it positively and calmly, there should be a nice atmosphere. You should never say a negative line about the person to the person. And it doesn't matter how many times they ask you, am I annoying? And you're thinking, boy, you're annoying. No, don't tell her that. Do I ask you too many questions? Do I talk too fast? Am I badgering you a little bit? I just want to know where you came from, who your father is, who your mother is, and there are so many things I want to know. Don't say a negative thing. It doesn't matter how true it is. When you say something negative, you can scar a person for life. You have a responsibility that when she leaves the date, she should walk away feeling, I met someone positive who sees me as a positive person. Whether you'll marry her or you won't marry her is irrelevant. Marrying her or not marrying her is a question of one thing. Do we match? She could be a positive person and you'll be a positive person. You don't match, you won't marry. You are not coming to the date to give her a grade. Very often people think they're coming to the date with, is she up to par? Is she good for me? That's not the approach. She's a wonderful person, hopefully, and I'm going to try to be a wonderful person, hopefully. And now the question is, do we match? That's the only question here. And there's no room to give one another grades. And if she's going to start giving you a grade, I ask you, please walk away from the conversation. If you walk away, sometimes you're breaking up with a girl, and she decides she's going to tell you what a lowlife you are. I've had girls do that to me. It hurts. Why should you do that? If a girl's going to do that, you tell her, I'm sorry, I went to a dating class and I was told that when a girl starts telling you negative things, you should hang up the phone. I don't want to hang up on the phone on you, so I will just tell you goodbye. Finished. Don't continue the conversation. There's no reason you should get hurt. People sometimes can be scarred for life. So it's not right. You should never do that to someone. And we will still discuss how you lead a conversation when you have to break up with a girl. And you shouldn't let someone else do it to you either. There's no reason for it, assuming you're normal. Saying, okay, if you picked up a baseball bat in the middle of a date, okay, you know, She might tell you, go get help. You shouldn't be picking up baseball bats at girls you're dating. Okay, but within the realm of normalcy, this shouldn't happen. And Be'ezrat Hashem, next time we will speak more about how a conversation evolves in the first date, frequency of dating, and how we develop a relationship.